this book, and yet I think in some ways this shows how much God's Word is so rich. That there's always things that we can meditate on. We can take just a simple few words, apply it to our life, then have everything that we need. You're looking in verse 15. Looked at, they're trying to understand, what is this verse meaning? The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. We're going to look at this final phrase here. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven. So we're looking at understanding this word for sick in verse 14 is the word for weakness. We're not sure whether that means physical weakness. That's very, very common. About 60% of the time, that means physical weakness, especially in the Gospels. But in the epistles, it most often means some sort of spiritual weakness that's going on. It's not necessarily physical. Something is happening here. And there, probably underneath the aspect of this, you say, what does that mean? In the context of great suffering, they're looking at this idea of, as we saw last time, the, what was that word that we looked at? The prayer of faith shall save the sick. And that word sick is used one other time for someone who is fainting or weary in their mind. So both possibilities are open to us. So we need to examine this and say, if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Now, those words there are, I think, this is an example. Sometimes we see the word if, and he's calling us to say, wait a second, I know that's true. You know, if the Son has made you free, in that aspect, or maybe, you know, there's certain things that you're meant to say, yes, that's happened in my own life. And so the word kind of has the idea of sense. This has a real sense here of it's a possibility that sin is not a part of the picture. So we need to look at it. Sin could be a part of the picture. Sin might not be a part of the picture. So let's look at that through the lens of physical sickness. And I think as we look at sickness as a whole, we have to acknowledge right off the bat that sickness comes from sin. Man had not sinned, we would not have any sickness in this world. Ultimately, what God is predestined us to is a place where there is no crying, there is no more sickness, there is no more dying. So we have this wonderful aspect of the curse is removed, there will be no more sickness. And Brother Lewis will have to find another job. So sorry about that. He'll be retired. Oh man, that'll be heaven, won't it? So there's this aspect, and oftentimes the Bible uses sickness to represent sin. In different passages, like Jeremiah 33, he says, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned. So here, it's in the context of Isaiah chapter 1, deals a lot with sickness as being a metaphor for sin. So there's a real identity, a connection. Isaiah 33:24 says, the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. It's parallel with this verse. People that dwell therein, says inhabitants, shall be forgiven their iniquity. So there's a pretty strong connection between sickness and sin. We have to say, sickness is not always a punishment for sin. We can think of two very clear examples. People were sick, and they even asked, did this man sin or his parents? I mean, who was it? Because we're going to find that connection to their sickness, to their sin, and there was no connection. So we've got to be very, very careful about we can be like Job's friends. Show up and say, well, you've got some real serious boils here. I'm pretty sure I know what you've been doing. You've done something wrong. Now please just kind of fess up. And we do not want to have that kind of judgmental aspect. We get identified by the physical condition, the spiritual nature of the heart. But can sickness be a punishment? Deuteronomy 7:15 says, the Lord says, I will take away from thee all sicknesses, put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but would lay them upon them. God can send an epidemic or disease upon someone. One of the curses in Deuteronomy 28:27 is the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, with the emerald, the scab, and the itch. Or if thou canst not be, if thou cannot be healed. So, but if you look in John chapter 5, Jesus found the man who he healed. He says, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more." That's the first thing. There was something directly related to sin. So, in regards to this passage, sickness fits pretty well, doesn't it? From the biblical aspect, sickness can be involved. The Bible says that some people in Corinth were not taking the Lord's Supper, their relationship with the Lord, seriously. God was striking sickness, some of them sleep, they're dead at that time. So God can deal with it. So there's an element that says, I'll just tell you the way I look at these things, I don't look around and say, so and so needs to be prayerful, they're sick. As a pastor, I need to find out what's wrong in life. That's not the way that I look at it at all. Never. Unless I know that there's a very clear sin, and all of a sudden something comes upon them, it's very drastic, and it's kind of unusual. And someone tells me, doctors, they've seen thousands of patients, and he's like, count on one hand the people that have had your condition. Pretty unusual, and you know that they're not in church, and they're not doing what they're supposed to do in certain aspects of things. I'm not trying to be judgmental, but there's an aspect that says, for myself personally, I might start getting this. There's an element of self-examination. Things happen, we should ask God. Say, dear God, am I walking with you? Just check up with the Lord and let him tell you. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying you have to dwell in introspection. But if things are going poorly, ask the Lord and say, because oftentimes, the Bible says we are deceived through the deceitfulness of sin. And we can barely walk in the front door, the beam in our eye is so big. And we can spot the little speck in everybody else's eye. The Bible lets us know that we are often oblivious to the problems. God sends us some things that are wake-up calls. I think we ought to have a heart that says, Lord, if there's any sin, what do you do? Oftentimes the Lord puts us flat on our backs. He can get our attention and so that we can focus on him. Sometimes he just wants some more prayer. He wants us to rest and focus on him. Other times he wants to get our attention. Got to allow the Lord to do that. The other aspect of, let's just compare that to possibly, what about spiritual weakness? Does that fit with this paradigm? If he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven. There's an element that says, is it possible to be spiritually weak and not have committed sin? Or a specific sin that's caused that? I think, as I meditate on those things, I think in terms of intense persecution, broken down by pain or outside pressure, or maybe even just plain spiritual oppression, that you can come to a place where you're in desperate need for the help of others, the help of spiritual leaders. Think about it in terms of Job could have been used to put in. He kind of got discouraged. He hadn't done any sins. All these things came upon him, these great trials. And you know what the first chapter that he gets to really speak about? It says, cursed be the day I was born. I want to talk about a guy who was pretty low. He was low. Now you may say, now wait a second, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And here we find out, what is the need? The need in verse 15 is the prayer of faith shall save that one which is fainting, weak, weary to that place. I'm sick of this idea. But I think that the question that runs, the same question that runs one way is, wait a second, I don't think this could apply to some spiritually weak, because if you're spiritually weak, you obviously have committed sin, or you're living in sin. Well, if the need is a prayer of faith from other people, then if in regards to physical healing, then they're not, they don't have, I don't have a prayer of faith yourself. Seems like there's a lack of faith in this life regardless. Whichever way you look at it, there seems like there is something. And so that would seem to be an interesting thing that he would say, if he had committed sin. I don't think he's looking at it on that level. I think there may be a necessary aspect. Is this a sin of, is the thing that's coming into their life, is it because of sin directly and indirectly related to that? It can be. So, but I would say that what I find oftentimes is those who condemn people in great trials are those who have never done it. Quite honestly, of all the things that I've ever had to go through, I really cannot say that I've gone through. I've never lost the death of someone I love close to me. I've never been persecuted outside of general ripping up a track and telling me they don't want to talk to me type thing. I've never experienced what these people are experiencing. So I think there's an element that says, I think you can be beaten down to a place of spiritual weakness. You need spiritual help, and it's not necessarily. I want to turn it around again the other side. You know that sin can be a spiritual weakness. Man, the Bible says the righteous are the wicked. Well, what do the wicked do? There's nobody coming. That, you know what will rob you of courage, of stamina, of endurance? Sin. You cannot hold up under the strain of what God calls you to do in the will of God and be a selfish person. You live a selfish life, and all of a sudden the will of God seems very tedious. You stagger under the weight of what God has called you to do. Sin zaps you of your moral fiber and renders faith impossible. Have you believe in God that you won't? So I think these words do not necessarily, if I had to pick one or the other, I would lean more towards physical sickness on the basis of these words that he's talking about here. That's just my opinion, but I don't think it really settles the matter one way. But I want to finish not on the uncertainty, but on the certainty of this passage. What is the certainty? They shall. I tell you, the most precious words in the scripture that melt the stone, your word, of God's invitation. He says, though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion. He will subdue. Thou wilt cast all their sins. How about the new covenant promises? Jeremiah quoted in Hebrews 8, where it says, for I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I be. You shall. God's faithful. You ask. It's just that simple. I mean, there could be a mass murder in this room. Serial killers that call on the Lord and send you to know your sins. chose to do it out of certainty of the blood of Jesus Christ. So, the great assurance is, if we are dealing with sin, then we will confess it. Confess it and forsake it, for you will find mercy. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You come to Him. You call out. Maybe it's something small. Maybe it's just today. Use the word I will use you. No. All right, that's our challenge for this evening.